It has been said that our present lives are the sum of our past choices. Now, of course, there are some aspects of our lives that are beyond our control, but a series of poor choices in life will accumulate. They will add up to negative results. The good news is that in the same way, a series of good choices will accumulate and bring positive outcomes. That's just the way things work in God's world. The Bible says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." You can learn a lot about someone by the choices they make. And the same is true with God. We can learn a lot about God by looking at the choices that he has made throughout history. Now, we may not always understand why God made a particular choice, but he has a proven track record of always doing what is right. God always does what is best, what is right. He's always motivated by love, by justice, fairness. And even if you don't see it, he is always mindful of you in his decisions. As we survey in this lesson some of God's choices, as revealed in the Bible, keep in your mind the fact that this is all ultimately about you. I want you to make it personal. So let's start with one of the first choices made by God, the choice to create. Many have asked the question, why would God create? Why would he create us if he knew mankind would sin, if he knew we would rebel and fight against each other? Why would God create anything at all? And the answer is found in the Bible, which says this: "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things," listen to it, "and by your will, they exist and were created." Did you catch that? It was God's will to create. In other words, he made everything, and he made you because he wanted to. Now, as the story of the Bible progresses, we see a long list of choices made by God. Each of them teach us something about God's character, something about God's work and his consistent pattern of choosing imperfect people. That's going to be a theme in this lesson. God choosing imperfect people like you and me to accomplish his will. So you look at the first man and woman on earth. God chose Adam and Eve. It doesn't take us long as we read their Bible, our Bible, to reveal their flaws, their struggles. The Bible tells us how Adam and Eve disobeyed God. The very next story is about how Cain disobeyed God and murdered his brother Abel. In fact, all of humanity chooses to disobey God, and that's when God chooses judgment on a sin-filled world, and he chooses a man named Noah and his family, who would serve as a beautiful example of God's desire to save humanity. Not all people wanted to be saved. Noah chose to obey God. Noah chose to build that ark, while everyone else was laughing at him for doing so. Then we read of another man of God's choosing. His name was Abram, or Abraham. And God chose him to be the one through whom God would eventually bless the entire world, through one of his descendants. And you and I know that descendant to be Jesus. God promises Abraham that he would turn his small family into a great nation. That's the nation of Israel. And then we see a series of choices on God's part with regard to who that special promise would be passed down to. So in the case of Abraham's sons, God chooses Isaac. When it comes to Isaac's sons, God chose Jacob. Jacob was not even the firstborn, but he's the one God chose. Jacob would then have 12 sons. And while God chose Joseph to save the family from famine, Joseph is not the son of promise. Judah is the son of God's choosing. The family of Abraham becomes a very important part of the story of the Bible. And when you look at that family, when you look at the names of those descendants, the people chosen by God, we look closely and what we see is not a list of honorable men. In fact, what we see is very special women to be part of this story. And when we look even closer, we see that these people are all very imperfect individuals. The Bible does not try to hide the mistakes of God's chosen, of God's family. So as the Old Testament history unfolds, moving toward the coming of Jesus, we see God choosing regular men and women, men and women just like you and me, but men and women of faith. God chooses Moses, for example. He's the leader of God's people as they exit Egypt and enter into freedom. After the death of Moses, God chooses Joshua. And then God chooses a series of people called judges to rule over his people. Then after the Israelites cried out for a human king and they chose the wrong man when they chose Saul, God steps in and chooses another king, a man the people would not have chosen, and his name was David. And this is where we find the famous Bible verse as the prophet Samuel is looking at the sons of Jesse in the small town of Bethlehem. Samuel is certain he is looking at Israel's next king as he's looking at Eliab. And Samuel says this, he says, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord says to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." And that's when David was chosen by God to be Israel's next king. Was David a perfect man? No, not by any means. In fact, he was very flawed. But God chose him for a reason. And we see clearly that reason is because David had a heart for God. When David would sin, he would repent. He wanted to be right with God. David's life could be described as one of trust in God. And we could go on and on about the many choices that God made along the way as we're reading this story, making our way towards the coming of Jesus. And we read about many other kings after David, some good, some bad. We read about prophets, those God chose to bring his message, his will to mankind, and to tell them what God's will was for their life. The story of the Bible is in many ways a sad story as mankind rejects God. Mankind chooses to reject God's will, and we fail over and over again. Yet God continues to make choices that were best for mankind. He chooses, ultimately, these things that are best for you. And as we continue reading the Bible, we see God choosing a young girl, a young virgin named Mary, to give birth to the King of God's final choosing, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. After the countless failures of man, God chose to send his son Jesus to save someone like me. God chose to send Jesus to save a sinner like me, like you. He chose Jesus to defeat Satan. He chose Jesus to establish his church. He chose Jesus to prepare a place in heaven for us. Now, if you're like me, the very idea of God choosing to do all of this with me in mind, it just sounds too good to be true. After all, this universe is massive. The world we live in is big, and it's hard to believe God would be mindful of me. But we consider the men Jesus chose to be his 12 apostles. And again, they're just regular men. Peter, James, and John, just fishermen, very flawed. Matthew was a tax collector. We know the Jews despised and hated tax collectors. These were all very imperfect people, as you know. And I'll say it again, the Bible hides nothing about their shortcomings. Yet Jesus chose them. And underscore this point, they chose to follow him. So now let's turn this conversation back to you. Maybe you're thinking, I'm nothing special. Why would God want anything to do with someone like me? I don't bring any special skills to God's work. What could I possibly offer? What could I do? Why would he choose me? I've asked myself these same questions. Why would God choose me? But the more I read the Bible, God's word, the more I'm amazed by the fact that God did indeed make me, that he has a purpose for me. And then even if I try to run away from him, I find that I cannot escape this very special fact that God made me. He chose to create me. He wants a relationship with me. How can I ignore that fact? How can you ignore the fact that God chose you? The Bible says, "Woe to him who strives with his maker. Shall the clay say to him who formed it, what are you making?" Listen to something God said about his people Israel through his chosen prophet Jeremiah. The Bible says this, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." God is not choosing you because you're perfect. He knows you're like this marred clay vessel, container. And he calls you anyway. He chooses you anyway. Not because he needs you, but because he knows you need him. Jesus said to his disciples, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." When I was a young boy in elementary school, we often played sports as a class. And the teacher would normally select two team captains. I was never selected for that, but two team captains, and they would take turns picking players. To this day, I don't know why, but I was often the last one picked. I got to tell you, it was a horrible feeling as a young boy to be the last one picked, to not feel wanted. And maybe that's why I find such great comfort in hearing Jesus say to me, "You did not pick me. I picked you." My friend, God has chosen you. His son Jesus did not come to die for a few special gifted people. No, Jesus died for all sinners, all marred clay pots, all broken lives. He died for you because he has chosen you. The question that remains is, will you choose him? Unfortunately, many refuse the call of the gospel, God's good news of Jesus. They don't respond to Jesus' invitation to follow him. Sure, they're moved by the fact that Jesus would die for them, but they don't choose to step one foot forward in a desire to follow and obey Jesus. What about you? What is your latest excuse for pushing back on God's invitation? Let me guess, you're too busy. You're still too young. You're still focused on your education and your career and your family and your hobbies. Maybe you've been turned off by your observation that religious people are all hypocrites. They're all fake. They're too judgmental. Whatever the excuse might be, you don't have to choose God. He's not forcing you to love Him in return. But I want to ask you to think long and hard about your life as it is right now. Are you telling me everything's great? You're doing well on your own. You don't need any help. You've got it all figured out. Can you really say, I don't need God in my life? God has chosen you. But will you choose Him? If we can help you in your search for God and His will for you, please reach out to us. We're just an email away. Help@wvbs.org.